Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT. Striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, clothing and the sexual objectification of a woman. Why do women complain about being objectified and wear provocative clothing? Is there a link between clothing and how a woman feels, how she is being? Remember, laws do not change all moral and ethical norms and ideologies or responses. Depending on who you talk to, provocative dress is the same as being obscene and promoting lust and immorality. Some may say it's just a fashion statement, a state of expressing oneself. Webster's Dictionary, Margaret Mead, kind of a definition of the word obscene, says disgusting to the senses, repulsive, abhorrent to morality or virtue, specifically designed to incite to lust or depravity. Are we reading too much into provocative fashions and sexual energy? You know, we have different levels of dress for everybody. You know, we have people who are completely covered. They have reasons for that. We have people who are less completely covered, and you know, just goes to the gamut. You have people who seem to be having parts of their body out that some people feel is, as this Webster's Dictionary described, the word is obscene. Are we hypersexual and victims of our lust for each other? Is this a hypersexual society? Some say this is the hypersexual society, and it contributes to a lot of things, issues that we have in this society. And I'm not going to attempt to... that I know the answer to this question about why a woman dresses a particular way and gets has feelings about, you know, how people respond to her provocative dress. Each individual woman, I guess, would have to answer that question, and I could only repeat things that I might have heard of women say, right, or read things that women allegedly said about their dress, why they dress that way, and things like that. But we're just going to talk about it, as we normally do, right? Hash it out. Anybody have anything to add to it? You're more than welcome to do so. Some people say provocative dressing is a part of a woman's freedom, right to express herself and or her sexuality. She has a right to dress. You don't tell her how to dress, and how to express herself through dress, right? She wants to express her sexuality through dress. She can. She can put on a tube dress, tightly built, formed, maybe with the low back, the front cut out, low, you know. Watch the, what's it, the Academy Awards? I think that's where you see a lot of different types of fashions. The Academy Awards on. High fashion, that they call it. I guess because those dresses cost a lot of money. From Thought Company. Oppression is the inequitable use of authority, law, or physical force to prevent others from being free or equal. Oppression is a type of injustice. That's a common theme, present day and past. Right? Feminists fight against the oppression of women. Women have unjustly held, have been unjustly held back from achieving full equality for much of human history in many societies around the world, they say, right? Many cultures and religions justify the oppression of women by attributing sexual power to them that men must then rigidly control to maintain their own purity and power. And that's a series of statement there. Is it saying that that there's power in the sexuality of a woman? In these cultures, women are often required to cover their bodies and faces to keep men assumed not to be in control of their own sexual actions from being overpowered. Ain't that something? Overpowered by the power, the mystique, the energy of the sexual or ality of the female. Some people might say that's blaming a woman for the weakness of men, or blaming women for exploiting the weakness of men. That implies that the female has more control of her sexual urges than her male counterpart. That implies that the female body, in this case, has power over the male. Some say if a woman can exhibit her body in public, you can look at the exhibit that is in front of you. Some say that staring at a woman's breast or private area, no matter how revealing, can cause a woman to feel uncomfortable and therefore could constitute sexual harassment. Unwanted sexual attention can make a woman feel uncomfortable. Since you may not know anything about her, but how she dresses, that is where you will start to form your opinion about her from what you physically see. So you don't know a person, so you're going to judge them by what you see. And a lot of people don't want to use that word judge. People make a judgment call every day. Crossing the street, you make a judgment call. So you're not sending nobody to hell, and in that sense, you're just deciding on what to do about a certain excuse me, certain situation, circumstances. All right, so excuse me. So you're gonna start from what you see, right? So if what you see is sexually attractive and enticing, then that's where you're starting at from. That's what you see. So you're going to have to get to know that person to get more information. So it doesn't matter if she's in a full garb or a Dallas cheerleader's outfit. If she's attracted to her, you're going to be sexually attracted to her. It's just one is more revealing than the other, right? So we know that, right? What she is covering, she does not want you to see. What she is not covering, she is allowing you to see, right? That's obvious, right? She's allowing anybody to see if it's in public, right? It's one looking at a woman wearing clothing to please herself. Is that what we're looking at when we see a woman? Oh, she got on, you know how she seen J-Lo and them. I think J-Lo had something on. You can see right through it at one of those Academy Award things. Or some of them, a couple of them had some things. You could just, okay, why are you wearing a dress? You know, but so and when, say, in the terms of a woman dressing provocatively, is one looking at a woman wearing clothing she is wearing to please herself. It has nothing to do with you, even though you may be aroused. Is she pleasing her peers, men, or any combination of these things? Objectification is the action of degrading someone to the status of a mere object. I thought that was an interesting definition because of the history of man and objects. Okay, so the mere object is just an object. So, an object is a material thing that can be seen and touched, right? A person or a thing to which a specified action or feeling is directed. That's an object, a person, object, right? Okay. So, and that's what I kind of get about. I guess that's what they're talking about. A specified action, which would be sex, feeling, arousal, and sexual gratification, which is a part of the human experience, right? So, like the object of my affection and or sexual attention. So, not boy, I said, come on, let's face it. Not everybody intends to marry the person they have sex with, but that person, the love of their life, or a friend with benefits. Nobody intends to marry them, right? Or everybody, right? Many are not waiting until they are married to have sex. For many, no matter how we disguise or describe our relationship, we are all objects of someone's sexual desire, specified action, or feeling, right? This sexual pit stop, these sexual pit stops on the road of life do not always represent the most honorable encounters we have engaged in according to the three major religion standards for sex is for those who engage in sex to be married, right? By those religious standards, outside of marriage, you are objectifying, devaluing, degrading yourself. The word outside may be a precursor to literally behaving sexually outside. The man is the object of the woman's sexual desire, and the woman is the object of the man's sexual desire. Whether you believe in a creator or not, you can observe that the male and the female are made for each other. Without our sexual interaction, human beings would cease to exist. The man is sexually attracted to the female, and the female is sexually attracted to the male. Once they reach sexual maturity, they have developed and nurtured this attraction. Sexual behavior is governed and motivated by nature, cultural norms, ideas about what's right and wrong, right? Religious ideology, personal ideology, peers and feelings, right? And emotions, right? Maybe some people do not perceive dressing provocatively as sexual or part of a sexual experience. Therefore, they put on certain clothing, and they're not intending to seduce, incite, excite, arouse anyone. Right? Some people may view a woman provocatively dressed as a form of self-objectification, self-disrespect, or self-degrading, kind of like a stripper. Everybody loves what they see, and they pay to see what they love. Right? Apparent changes in cultural norms do not always represent a change in dominant cultural norms. Sometimes it represents a change in an individual or subcultural norm. Ideas about right and wrong, right? And is influenced by fashion, the media, and peer groups. So we got all these subgroups that's impacting on decisions we make and about forming ideas and decisions we make, right? How we perceive clothing, dress, and of how we adorn our bodies. In this case, we're talking about females, right? So, fact is, some women appear to love dressing and being sexy, love stimulating sexual energy, love the attention, and some don't. Some use sexual energy to get what they want, attention, a particular man, employment, favors, or privilege. If you don't want to be objectified, or reduce to someone else's opinion to a just a screw, right? The answer to that is don't have sex until you are in a relationship you want to be in. As my cousin says, it's your choice. Because somebody, I think of an article where a lady said that it reduces women down to a, she's a different word, an F word. So I'm trying to be careful with that as mom. Mr. Jones reminds me to be careful with certain language on the, you know, air. So women are definitely going to get a man's attention when she starts revealing her body, right? If it's attention a woman wants, she can expect a variety of magnetic attention ranging from praising to shaming, right? I gotta have her to I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. Will you marry me to what do I have to do to hit that? We have a caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello. I'm calling in regards to your topic about the sexualization of women's clothing.
Right.
And it's true, over the years, a lot of the clothing is created that way. They're created very short, deliberately. They're very low up top and short down below. That's deliberate, and it's hard to find clothing that, for example, a skirt that's maybe slightly below the knee, but mainly up below the knee, and it's hard to find blouses. Getting harder to find a top or a sweater without being a deep cut in the front, unless you get, you know. And so it is a deliberate, and they've been doing it for a few years now. And from a Christian perspective, the Bible says a woman should dress modestly. And a woman over time, if she's short as a child, and also some of the clothes or sexualized for children, if parents choose to buy them. But I'm just happy to report so far there's a young weather person on Channel 6 ABC's Morning News. You know, she comes on taking the place of other news person. Her name is Brittany. She's a beautiful black woman. Oh, boy, does she dress beautifully.
Oh,
okay. Nice dresses, mostly dresses, mostly below her knee, you know, not low cut. And she's such a beautiful example of how you can dress, be beautiful, be enticing to a man, but not push his buttons,
right.
You know, not necessarily
right.
Push the button. And because there's so much pornography from those are Christian and non-Christian. It's an addiction, unfortunately. We know there's addiction, and it's hard, I'm hearing, to, you know, break it, but it can be broken if you choose to. So you have that going on, and then you have the women dress provocatively, some deliberately, or some figure that that's the way to do it. You know, and to get a man, you know, that's what they feel.
Right.
And because the men pay them more attention than a modest-dressed person. So
right.
The men got to do their part. You know, we know they're attractive. They might look, but they got to zero in on women that dress. They got, it's about choices. If
right.
A man looking for a wife, chances are he might look for a woman like that weather woman on Channel 6 News. He dresses, she'll make anybody proud. I mean, anybody look at Channel 6 News, catch her. First name is Brittany. Last name begins with a B. And saying.
Okay.
You can look beautiful and, you know, covered up a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I want to thank our caller for sharing again. So apparently she's saying that there is the industry is not provided, is providing a lot of clothing that is provocative. And then some women feel that's how you get a man by getting his sexual attention, being provocative. And then actually, you will get a man's attention doing that. And what do you want after that is, you know, you're going to have to deal with that after you've gotten his attention and getting him aroused. Because you get a man coming to you that who is sexually aroused. That's different than a guy that's coming to you with intent on having sex with you, but he's not in an aroused state. You understand? If you can understand what I'm saying. So. Some people do not want to share their partner's sexual energy or body, and it is the source of conflict in and outside of relationships. So this thing is real. Oh, we have another caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Brother Yusuf. I'm listening, and I just want to add this. I'll try not to be too long-winded. I just want to try to really key in on some specifics. One is the attraction. The other is, you know, how, if we're talking about culturally, and I'm assuming that you're speaking about African males and females, or women and men in general. But I would like to specifically try to speak to African males and females, because what I've come to see over the years, in 62 years that I've been here on Earth, I've witnessed how commercialism, sexism, and the exploitation of women through commercialism, fashion, you know, and other apparatuses they use to convince a person that, first of all, they're not even beautiful in their own skin. Years ago, the nuns used to wear their dresses below the knee, and they covered, and as fashion and the sexual revolution, or the woman's, what they call liberation, came about, you've seen dresses get shorter and the tops became lower, showing off the cleavage and what have you.
Right.
And I believe it's because of our indoctrination into the concepts of Europeans, we have adopted this behavior, which degrades not only ourselves as men, but also our women, because we look at them as objects. We don't look at them for the characteristics of a queen and her attributes that she displays. Is she respectful of her parents? Does she keep herself neat and clean and presentable? It shouldn't be about how fat her behind is. It shouldn't be about the physical attraction, because a lot of times once you get aroused and amazed with the fixation of the physical, rarely are you concerned about the emotional, the mental, and other attributes that she possesses. And this is why relationships of today are contingent upon sex. We're so backward in the way that we think. I've looked at people from India who because there's so many people over there. But one of the things that I learned from speaking with a few of them is that they work very hard. They think about educating themselves. And they may have their eye on, because normally it's arranged marriages. So normally what would happen is they would work hard, educate themselves, get a job so that they could take care of their parents. Then they would marry so that they could provide and have offspring. And that is not to the letter, but that's primarily how the relationships are developed into marriage before the universal God. We, on the other hand, here in America, we're so fixated and indoctrinated into a feel-good, instant gratification type of mentality that we don't even know if the woman can, even if the woman that we have a sexual attraction to is worthy of being your wife or the bearer of your child. So our concepts are so screwed up because we have been so mesmerized, manipulated into a concept of thinking that is only sinful. We don't look at the other four elements, you know, and I think that's a reason why now, you know, even myself, I'll use an example. I was a young man, and I thought with my lower desire. And then I realized years later why I was still by myself. Because I realized that I was causing harm to another human being for instant gratification. And at the end of the day, I was still by myself with those same thoughts, you know, like the old folks used to say, like a rolling stone gathers no moss. You have no tangible connection to anything because you're looking for the instant, you know, energy of the sexual fulfillment of your desires, your lower desires, and we're not thinking on a higher plane. So I just wanted to share that with you. You know, I do believe that, you know, through the commercialism and the fashion industry, now they're pushing more, you know, in the last 25 years, they've been pushing unisex glasses, clothing, you know, defeminizing, emasculating the man and defeminizing the woman. So now women don't even feel comfortable in their own skin, so they go out their way to defile their own existence by adorning certain things. When, if you were to go to Africa, you would notice that women are without a bra, their breasts are showing, and you don't see the males sitting there, you know, googly-eyed, staring at their private parts of their breasts. And that, I'm just using that as a premise to say, well, if you look at here in America, so-called civilized world, we get caught up into that European concept, which has caused us to really fail. We're failing our women, we're failing ourselves as men, and again, you know, the continuation of it is now affecting our children at very young, early ages. So I just wanted to share that, you know, hopefully I didn't go off topic, but I do believe that, yeah, we men as well as women, need to reevaluate what is beauty, what is attractive. You know, I'd rather have a wife that is not, you know, showing her body to the world and then justify it by saying, oh, I just want to look good. Look good for who? Thank you for letting me share that, bro.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Can I ask you a question before you hang up?
Yeah.
So I know you're a male, but I just want to, you know, why do you think that some women who dress provocatively have a a problem with the way some people react to or respond to their dress. And there are different ways that people respond to a woman dressed provocative. As I just went through a couple of ranges. You know, it could range from, you know, somebody praising you to somebody shunning you, just to make a long story short. So why do you think they have say if she's a woman walk by and everybody stop and look at her and she have a problem with that, or you know why would she have a problem with that? The attention, some of that attention.
Well, again, I believe it's part of the message, the mixed messages that society sends on, you know, and bombards us with all these subliminal messages about what is attractive and what isn't, and then we define it in our own mind, and we add to it or we subtract from it. So when they look good, they may have a very beautiful physical feature, you know. I get it, you know, but I don't want to be attracted. My attraction to a woman today, because I have a lot more understanding about who I am as a man, and I want my connection with her to be one that isn't based solely on physical attraction. You know, I often say to women that I have known and know me well, I don't need steak and potatoes all the time. I need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Just show me that you care about, you know, my sustenance so I can get through another day. You know, motivate me, empower me, and put me in my place if I'm wrong or incorrect, you know, in terms of how I address her and being respectful of her. You know, back in my day, you used to, you know, when you met a girl that you started to like, normally you had to go see her parents first. And then if you saw anything about her, you took her to your parents. Because they had a good ability to make a good judge of character. So judging is nothing wrong with judging. You need to be mindful of the truth and the falsehood of what we are looking for. Because, again, in my mind, as a young man, I had this ideology where my woman had to have a Coke bottle figure, not even taking in consideration her intellect, you know, her morals, her values. It was all about physics. And at the end of the day, you know, now that I'm older, I realize people get old. You ain't going to always look like you did when you was 18 years old. So I don't chase a woman or look to be with a woman just because of her physical attributes. I like to hear what she has to say out of her mouth if she's respectful, you know, as opposed to somebody that's cussing all the time. You know, there's so much more that we don't take in consideration about what a relationship should be and what it should look like. And I'm not even going to get into religion. But, you know, in Islam, it's not permissible for us to date. You either going to, you know, you have a third party, which is a wali, a guardian, or a protector, and you meet within that parameter so that you do not engage in, you know, intimate conversations over the phone that lead towards sexual behaviors and promiscuity.
Gotcha. Right. Okay, so the question was, why do you think that the woman becomes, you know, have issue with that, her own dress, but she continues to dress that way? You know what I'm saying? So, like,
again, because society has... Society has made her feel that she is worthless and unacceptable unless she adopts a certain type of mannerism.
So she's
and the mannerism is also a part of her dress
okay.
code.
Okay, so previous caller said there's a lot of fast provocative fashion being pushed on basically the population, right? It's not many. Okay, and you're saying I guess psychosocially, she's being forced to think that she has to look a certain way in order to be accepted. Is that right? Beautiful.
I would say so. I mean, when I came up, like I said, you know, yes, things change. And sometimes, you know, looking at change, you got to look at it whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I love to see a woman with a skirt on or a dress on. It looks very feminine. I've noticed that in the last 20 years, women have gone from wearing dresses to all they wear is pants and spandex. And it's always hugging their body.
Okay. So basically you're saying they're being held hostage by the fashion industry and people who are in support psychologically of the whatever the fashion industry dictates.
Yeah, because you know how we used to get, you know, if a woman, you know, people tease, you know, or they, you know, they look at each other and they gauge whether they're more beautiful than the other person. I've just learned that, yeah, I see what has happened to the liberation so-called movement. This let it all hang out, go with the flow type mentality. And my thing is, well, be mindful of what you're trying as a woman. And I often say this to a woman, don't be so concerned about how a man smells and what he looks like. Ask yourself, will he respect you? Will he take care of you if you're sick? Ask, will he be a good provider of your children if you choose to have some with that person? Those are some of the things we need to look at and stop worrying about dressing up the outside while the inside's so screwed up. And then when you finally get it home after the first 90 days, then you're scratching your head wondering what the hell you got yourself into.
Well, okay.
So I just, like, again, I do believe a lot of it has to do with how we've adopted or adapted to the pressures in society, and norms are always interchangeable. You know, it's like whatever, okay, what's the fashion now? As opposed to, you know, how people that who want to validate themselves by what they wear. You know, this is why we gravitate and make a fashion designers multimillionaires. You know what I mean? If you, you know, as opposed to you just having some clean clothes on, presentable, that you like. Why I got to have Gucci and Armani? I don't, you know, most of them faggots anyway. I want to say that. So I don't have a tendency to gravitate to name, brand, nothing. I'm not concerned about that. When I'm looking at a person, a human being, and I'm gauging whether or not I would like to have communication with that person and be in a relationship, it has nothing to do with their physical.
Okay.
Because I would not want any man to come into my domain and where my mother or my sister or my niece might, or my cousin might be present. And, you know, he's looking at her like she a sub stick ready to devour her and not have any concern about, you know, elevating her, empowering her, inspiring her to be the best that she can be. You know, I think we've gotten so far off track with just, like I said, trying to look good and feel good, and we go to extremes doing it. You know what I mean? We clothing, tattooing, you name it. We interchangeable like a mannequin in a store. You know, and I just hope that at some point in time, we get back to some basics. You know, old school ain't nothing bad about it. It was catalyst. It gets you to the next level, just like you go through grade school.
Okay.
You know, and hopefully we get to a point where, again, our women start to realize that they're beautiful in their own skin because the Creator created them. Whether you have kinky hair, straight hair, no hair, You know, my attraction to you is not because of, like I said, what you look like physically.
Okay. Hey, we have another caller. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling in, brother.
You are.
We have another caller. 6050.
Hey,
hello.
How you doing?
Welcome to... Hello.
Hey,
welcome
this is
to
Patrick. I was hoping that other brother would stay on the line because I wanted to ask him a question, but I guess I'll ask you.
Oh, let's see if he's on there. Let's see if he's still there. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
No, he's there.
Okay,
Patrick?
Just wanted to ask a question. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Now, you said that, I think he said that that it's society that's pushing it on the women, but is it really just society pushing it on the women? Because if it was society pushing it on everyone, then what is it from keeping other cultures from taking up the same practice?
Because,
so if you have Middle Eastern women, if you have, you know, women from Southeast Asia or Eastern Asia, you know, China, Korea, what is keeping them from partaking in this? And if is it more, yes, they're pushing it, but is it more culture than them pushing it? Is it more our culture?
My personal, listen, I'm not an expert in this field. All I will say this though, I noticed that when you see people like I go to Dunkin' Donuts all the time, and most of those young ladies that work there are from a Middle Eastern country. One of the things that they're not into, and I know another sister I work with that's not from Nigeria. You don't touch them. You don't put your hands on them. You don't hug them. You know what I mean? And you speak to them in a respectful way. Things that we take for granted here in America, I've noticed that it really irritates these two individuals that I talked about very much so. And they have come to me and actually brought it to my attention, asking me the question, why do men in America feel so entitled to just say things out of their mouth without even thinking about what they're saying? You know, and I do think it's cultural. I think it's, like I said, it's been pushed through TV commercials, advertisement. I mean, that's what people in the business of selling things want to entice your imagination, and they have either a psychiatrist or a psychologist on board so that they can actually target a certain group, age group, whether it be female or male. So, I mean, like I said, I think a woman is attractive, period. You know, I mean, she has various attributes to focus upon other than just how big her behind is. I mean, at the end of the day, what does that say about us? You know, I mean, I would like, again, I would like to have, I always say to myself when interacting with a woman, and I'm very transparent, I try my best to be very transparent about who I am, where I've been, and what my goals and aspirations are, so that she can gauge based on what she sees and what she hears, so that she knows from the door that if the two don't coincide, there's only one thing going on. Either I'm a compulsive liar or I'm a hell of a narcissist. You know, I just believe that, yes, in culturally, we are being bombarded with a lot of subliminal messages. Our young ladies now feel that they have to do certain things to be accepted within their peer groups and in the environments they live in, and that's what's being sold to them as being attractive, as opposed to a plain woman with no eyelashes on, no, you know, different color hair, you know, no spandex on, you know. It gives you an opportunity to look at a woman in a different aspect. And I think we have been bombarded with a lot of that now, more so than ever before, because, again, it's the way you control people. You know, you can control the conditions of people if you continually give them subliminal messages and they buy into it. You know, I did it. Years ago, I just thought that I had to have the Gazelle glasses or the Yves Saint Laurent or the Armani this, and I walked a certain way when I had those clothes on, only to realize later on that clothes don't define who I am. I don't want to walk around naked either, but I'm not, you know, amazed at things that I put on to dress my outside up. I try to work more on who I am as a person and how I interact with another human being. And I'm not walking around with my thing in my hand trying to exploit every sister I come across just because she's attractive. And I hope that answers your question.
Patrick?
No, you did, brother. Yeah. He answered my question. I was just curious because he said that, and I know that it doesn't affect everyone, and it doesn't affect everyone the same way. So how much of this is...
Well, yeah, to go back to that, I just noticed that people in China and even the younger Chinese that are, you know, what they call millennials, I do know that the, you know, Chinese people, they normally stick, you know, to a very classy way of dress, or they very casual. You know, people from India that come here usually adorn garments that are down below their knees, you know, like a garb, or they're wearing the headdress, you know. And just to give you like a I want to just say this before I go. You know, here in America, you heard a lot of politicians speak about Islamic countries who so-called make the woman wear the burqa or the niqab. But here you can be butt-naked, and they ain't concerned about how people dress now over here. But they tried to sell that propaganda for so long, and I used to ask people, they're not concerned. They really not. About how people being treated in other countries. Because we go in every country, and I'm ex-military. We went in every country, and we exploited them to for our reasons and set up a base. And then we tried to merge with them by giving them different things that we sell, product, fashion, you know, and a lot of people just, you know, gravitate to it. But most cultures they dress. The women dress modestly, whether it's Africans that come here and people from various other cultures and races that come here from abroad. They don't dress like we do here in America. And I just think, it's sad because, again, I want to see the value of a woman not just, you know, be aroused, like the brother was saying earlier, by the way her body is shaped. And no, I wouldn't marry a woman who was visibly provocative in that sense, showing off her body to everybody. Because there's no need for me to marry her as I see her in that way and then want to, you know, put down my foot and say later on, oh, I want you to dress a certain way. Now, you know, I'm being a hypocrite.
Yep.
So we got to be careful about the messages we are sending. You know, we got to be careful about how we speak to our women. We have to uplift them, encourage them, and remind them that, you know, they are beautiful, period. You know, I don't have to see your body to want you. I want to be attracted to your intelligence. I want to be attracted to when I sit across the table from you and we're holding a conversation. It's about something that we're looking forward to creating in our relationship to uplift each other. So I hope that's where we get back to, because I think we're far off the map, and this is why a lot of people now are making children that they either can't afford, don't want, and don't want to take the time to raise.
Okay, well, you know, just to add to that, sounds like we need to develop our own fashion industry to support women dress. Because as the lady said, first speaker said, there's hardly any, clothes out there. The clothing that they're selling are, for the most part, very provocative. So sounds like folks need to develop their own industry, which, you know, would be a start.
Well, I believe, you know, I wouldn't even say, you know, develop a fashion industry. I would say more or less, you know, it starts with family, and then it starts with the school system, again, addressing these problematic issues as we move forward. Because, you know, in our culture, we are so quick to want to have sex, but don't realize that the gift that God gave us, period, of procreation, and the reasons, yes, he wants, it's pleasurable. You want to feel good. The energy that you and a woman, when you connect, it's overpowering. It's overwhelming.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.
What
but it
I'm not
shouldn't
about
be
sex.
For the soul. Yeah. It shouldn't
when
be
I'm
for
talking
the
about sex.
Right.
I wasn't,
right.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about sex. I was speaking to the dress, you know, to
right.
What we're talking about,
right.
Provocative dress. And the lady that was speaking previously said that, hey, we can't find decent clothing, basically. We can't, if you want to call it that. They said a lot of the clothing that they're selling is provocative. So I'm
yeah.
saying that people, in order to support, talking about black people, right? Black people to support black women in dressing and changing the way that they dress need to create their own industry and therefore provide those things for those women so that they can find the clothing that they're looking for. Because apparently some women are looking for these things, but she's saying the choices are slim. So
right,
therefore,
right.
that
well,
industry,
that, that,
a clothing
yeah.
industry that would support their choices would be appropriate, beneficial.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, bro. I mean, I think that could be a process. But, you know, look at us, man. We don't own any banks. We don't own food markets. We don't own anything, you know.
Can't let
and
it stop
so
us.
We, right.
Can't let
so,
any of that
you
stop
know,
us.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's going to stop. No, I'm not. That's not why I'm mentioning it. I'm mentioning it because
okay.
it's a fact. So, you know, I do know of seamstresses who do make clothing and
right.
very classy, very sexy clothing that attributes to the beauty of the queen that she already is without, you know, you being able to sit there and literally see every contour of her body, you
right.
know. So that is, you know, in small areas of society, it's being done. I mean, you know, back in our day, women made clothes. You know, they bought a pattern, they bought the material, and they made what they wanted. But now, again, the microwavable, I got to have it now, you know, it looks good. You know, you go and try it on, you feel good when you look in the mirror. And I'm not knocking what a person is entitled to make their own decisions as to what they want to wear. But again, you know, if you're dressing to a point where you're showing your body, you're going to attract unwanted attention.
Right.
So, you know,
you don't want attention,
don't,
right. Some want that
so
attention.
Right. And I shouldn't be undressing the sister as I'm looking at her, because again, I'm not doing her any justice because I don't see her value. I see the physical and what was going to make me feel good.
Okay, so that goes, that leads us to sexual energy being sacred and coveted.
I think so. Just like, you know, the clothing we wear. You know, like I said, I like clothing. I think I want to look professional. I want to look clean. I want to look, you know, able to go in whatever environment, a dinner, you know, a meeting, what have you, you know. But I'm not going to wear anything that's hugging so you can see my groin and all that stuff. I just don't see the need in it because, again, I'm not trying to sell myself.
Right. Okay,
you know,
so sacred, just for people listening, a sacred, something that's sacred is dedicated to, devoted exclusively to one service or use, right? Is worthy of religious veneration, holy, entitled to reverence and respect, right? Which is what some women who dress provocatively feel they're not getting when they dress that way. Coveted is greatly desired or envy, right? So,
yes.
So what I'm hearing is, I heard someone say, hey, I can't find clothing. Most of the clothing I'm seeing is provocative. I got to sew up the top, you know, or put this, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? She didn't say that.
Right.
I'm saying so.
Yeah.
So another thing we need to do is that's on the outside, and now you need to do some work on the inside. Because things being sacred, that is not something that people just wake up in the morning and come up with that ideology. Correct?
Correct. Right. And again, if you don't have an environment that's promoting,
that's right.
You know. Yeah, because again, you know, I mean, come on, you know, when we grew up, if you didn't have Chuck Taylors or Converse, people would call the sneakers you wore Bobos. You see what I'm saying? That kind of ignorance was perpetuated, and the stigmatizing other people based on what they themselves believed was, you know, what was in, what was acceptable, and what wasn't. And we do it all the time, you know what I mean? It's just something that's been ingrained in us over time, you know, and it's not an easy fix. And I do understand that, yes, you know, fashion is something that, you know, it makes people feel good to wear things that make you look attractive, makes you feel good. But again, we should stop being so concerned and consumed by the outer appearance. I'm not saying not take care of your hygiene and not, do whatever cosmetics you have to do to keep yourself looking presentable to yourself as well as others. But be respectful and be mindful of, you know, your inner beauty. Let that
right, you know, you know, not all women have the Coke-shaped body or the perfect body. I don't know what the perfect body is because I know people from different countries. They like different types of women in different places depending on where you go. So, but in terms of a woman exploiting her body, showing her parts of the erroneous zones and, you know, parts that are perceived to be sexually seductive and things like that. And if a woman has an issue with that, what would you say to her immediately? What would one thing you'd be saying? You know her. Somebody you know, she's having a problem. Hey, I walked down the street. These guys were just looking at me, and it was whistling. And then I went the next block. These guys were stopping in the cars, and I couldn't get down the street without these guys talking and trying to get at me. What would you say to her?
I would just ask that she, again, evaluate why she feels, number one, that she has to wear a certain type of dress in order for her to feel good about her own essence and her own existence. I would just try to do that because, again, it's something that has happened over time. It's been ingrained within the mind, and it's not easy fix just through having a conversation, even though you might be making sense. If that's what they grew up with, if that was the observations that they learned from, then normally they're going to replicate the same behavior because that's the guidepost that they have to look up to other people and say, well, yeah, you know, they had this, or they had the guy with the fancy car, or they had the guy with the money. You know, I mean, okay. So let me, tell me, if I don't have, I would share to them, I would say, okay, so if you're attracting something based on those things, so you mean to tell me if I don't have name brand clothes on, or I don't have any money, then I'm not still, I don't have any self-worth? Because if I'm basing everything on what I'm wearing and how and what it looks like to other people, because I'm looking to be validated by their eyes, what they see, that means I need to do some work on myself. And that's what I would try to share with that young woman or that woman.
Okay.
You know, her beauty goes way beyond her physical attributes. And the clothing that she wears, I would just hope that she would be mindful of what she's trying to attract when looking beautiful, and that term that is being so loosely thrown around, sexy.
Okay.
Because sex appeal and what sensual, depending on whose eye the person is looking through, like again, sexual may mean that's just what it is. I like what I see. I want it. I want to feel it. And I want to feel good when I get it. After
okay.
that, I'm
so,
done with it.
I'm going to interject something here. So,
yeah.
This is what I do. There's a girl coming down the street. I know her, right? She's dressed provocatively, right? So she comes, she's complaining about these guys whistling and hollering at her and Google on her for two blocks, right? So I'm asking why you think they're doing that, right? And it hopefully she knows this is what she's wearing, because if she doesn't, I'm gonna interject that into the conversation. Here's why those brothers are Googling at you, because of what they see. They see you're showing a lot of your body, and that's turning them on. That's getting them excited, and to them, they think that's what you want. You want their attention because you got their attention sexually. You got that you walking down the street, all the sexual energy, and that's what you're getting back, sexual energy from these guys. Now, if your clothes is causing these brothers to be attracted to you in an overt sexually way that you don't want that attention, what you need to do is consider changing your outfit. That's what I'm going to tell her.
Okay.
Okay, that's what she
but
needs
even
to do.
Though, but even though you interject that, and that's a positive message, and very, I like the way you put using the words and how you would have that dialogue. But again, you know, I mean, you know, we can't. I don't want to say is, you know, the sexual way a woman dresses demeans her, because if that's the case, she shouldn't put on a bathing suit. Okay, I mean,
wait a minute. What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying right there. You say what you say? What did you say?
What I'm saying is this, is that, okay, yeah, this the dress, the fashion is sexually provocative because society is using the fashion industry and it utilizes it in such a way where it redirects
exploits.
The man.
It
right.
exploits the
so,
woman's sexuality. That's a fact. That's
right.
not even a – that's documented.
Well, what is documented? Not, like I said, I'm not –
No, I'm saying it's an admission. It's an admission.
Right.
I'm listening to what I'm saying.
But,
I'm saying it's not a secret, because you can see it. You don't need a scientist to figure that out, that it's a sport. They're exploiting their sexual energy by certain outfits and things like that, right?
Well – Yeah, listen. I'm going to say this, and because I don't want to hold everybody up that may want to call it. My thing is this. Okay, we know this. It's been proven, as you just said. Well, then, you know, why aren't most of the organizations that have congregations of whether it be religion or what have you, Why isn't someone speaking out about this more so? Why is it so
I can't answer that. I can't answer that, and I'm going to take a wild guess and say that somebody somewhere is speaking about this somewhere all over this country. I'm sure that they're having conversations about it. I'm sure me and you aren't the only people talking about this.
Well, you know, this is not what I'm talking about, a larger gathering, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, what's acceptable in the workplace, you know, just like in some places, they don't want to see women with cornrows. Or they don't want to see brothers with dreadlocks. You know, again, somebody enforces and states what a dress code is and what is acceptable. And we just got into, we're in a society where this is being promoted more often. One, it makes money. Two, people want to feel good. They want to look good. You know, again, we're being directed to our outer beauty and women in general. This is a conversation about clothing and women's quality of what they're presenting. So I just look at it that way. I mean, you know, I'm not knocking any woman that wants to put on whatever she wants to put on. I just try to say to them, be mindful of what's promoting you to put that type of outfit on, when you know it's going to attract maybe some attention and maybe from somebody you don't want to be bothered with. It could be a rapist. It could be a number of people.
It could be,
man,
some naggy guys on sitting on a job site.
Exactly.
You know, right.
Exactly.
I read an article like that. Exactly. Actually, I'm not even making that up. That's a real article about a woman that complained about that. These guys at the work site,
yeah,
whistling and catcalling.
Yeah,
so, you know,
I worked on construction down at the University of Pennsylvania during the summer, and the students, female students, would come out, and the they have like a little area inside the confines of the residence where they stay, and they would come out on blankets and lay out there on Sundays in their bathing suits, you know, and construction workers would literally stop and, you know, be eyeballing. It's called reckless eyeballing.
But is he reckless eyeballing if it's out in the open? Is he reckless eyeballing? It's right there in front of him.
If you're staring at that person and you're not having a communication with that person, why are you staring at them?
Okay, so if I stare, wait a minute, let me get this right. If I stared at a nun, would I be reckless eyeballing?
Yeah, and you're not having any conversation.
I'm not having any communication. She's just across the street. I'm staring at her. Am I reckless or eyeballing? And what am I recklessly eyeballing?
Listen, I don't know what would be a reason for a person just staring at another female for a length of time and not either. Okay, you said across the street. So my thing would be, what would be the need? I mean, what would be, I can't figure it out. More than a minute, I'd be really questioning. Why is he staring at that person?
Now, is it a log and staring at somebody? Just help me out with that.
I just told you. It's called, in some circles, it's called reckless eyeballing.
Oh, you're trying to tell me it's a log against staring and looking at somebody.
I said in certain circles, and like in the middle.
I'm talking about law. Is it illegal to look at someone? That's what I'm asking.
Not that I know of, bro.
Right, me either.
But under certain conditions,
you can have a problem doing that. And like at the job, if there's a woman in there and she says she got a low cut shirt, she got about maybe 3 inches of her breast out, you keep staring at her breast and making her feel uncomfortable. She makes a comment about all of that. That could be a problem for you. That's reckless eyeballing, what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Some people, everybody processes stuff differently.
Right. Well, you know? But the thing is, some people say, how is it that I'm reckless eyeballing something that's right in front of me, and how come that person isn't being sexually objectifying by having that part of their body exposed. That's one of the arguments for that.
Well, I've heard the argument be put that it's their body and they're entitled to wear what they want to wear. And just because they're wearing something that you're attracted to does not give you the right to exploit them, be disrespectful to them, or degrade them.
No, we're talking about looking. No, we're just talking about looking there. We ain't talking about nobody doing anything.
When you're looking at a person, even on my job, bro, people wear spandex. I don't sit there and because they got a voluptuous body, I don't stare at them every time they get up to walk across the room. Because that would imply something.
Right. Why so listen to this. Why? If the person was a nun getting up, every time she got up, you look over there and you look and she got up, right? Would you be recklessly eyeballing her?
It depends why I'm standing.
You don't know why. But then we don't know what's in the person's head.
Exactly.
Right?
So I can't, but I would find it kind of strange that I would continually do this, not have a conversation with the person, but I'm steady staring at them real hard. I'd probably walk over to that brother and say, what's going on?
So let me see. Wait a minute. A girl walks, we'll get to that conversation because I got some more things I got to say. But my point I'm making, I'm trying to be the devil's advocate here, is that there's an argument against people being provocative and accusing people of assaulting or invading their privacy. If it's private, it shouldn't be in public. That's one of the arguments. That if it's a private thing, if you're bathing on the sun in front of 12 guys that's on those guys are on when they build buildings, you're making yourself available to them. So why isn't she being held accountable for what she's doing? Why are the guys that see her being demonized and not the person who's exposing their body? That's an argument.
Because, again, we're selective. And we live in society. Well, in society, when I say selective, we as people have the tendency to pick and choose what is good, and it can vary from person to person based on their knowledge base, their lifestyles, how they were raised, and so on and so on. We have these biases and prejudices. So yeah, I can look at a woman and say, well, yeah, if you didn't want me to look at what you got on or look at you, period, then you shouldn't wear what you wear. Well, that's kind of like being selective because, again, if I see my sister wearing the same outfit and I didn't go and encourage my sister not to take it off, that's being a little bit like a hypocrite. I feel that women are subjected to the fashion industry. The fashion industry is promoting things that sell and that have become the new norm in this culture, And as a result of it, because people are more inclined to want to feel good, look good, they don't do the work necessary to look good on the inside out. And it's like an array of light. It's illuminated. It attracts like a magnet. But unfortunately, again, we live in this society, and depending on where you're at in society, whether it's the office, whether it's in the neighborhood, whether it's at a professional conference, there's certain dress codes that are utilized for those type of environments. What's acceptable and what's not, and I'm not making this up. I know that we have a dress code on my job and on certain things that they shouldn't wear. And when they do go against that code of ethics, usually they get the unwanted attention of maybe a member that we're servicing, and they become attracted to them because That's what they say. But okay, we have to, you know, address those individuals, because normally after a period of time, the staring comes out in their mouth and they say something that is disrespectful. And we have to redirect them and say, listen, you know, this is a professional environment. That was inappropriate. This is how you should speak to that person. And if you don't choose to follow this advice, don't say anything to them or we're going to discharge you. So are some rules. Yeah.
All right. That's a verbal. We wasn't talking about anything verbal. I was talking about what you see and what's presented. So, but that's, since we did say that, in the spirit of female liberation, what we're talking about, they say, they talk about, it was an article in Girls Ask Guys, where they talked about it's distracting to boys to wear leggings, and that it doesn't mean you should wear something that shows your camel toe, right? And it said you shouldn't, you know, some people might say, they said, don't give me that, you shouldn't be looking there, excuse, right? And if a guy has his penis hanging out in public, many females will call the police and cry on rape culture, right? They say being objectified means being treated as an object, not a human. Objects are not respected in any the way that humans are, and only as something to be effed, and which is wrong regardless of the motivation, right? So, and I said, you know, I just had a response to that article. Does that mean that the male, that the male respects the female he only wants to have sex with? If he respects the female he only wants to have sex with, she's not being objectified? And they went on to say, if a woman is dressed conservatively or naked, she's still a woman, a human. Nothing in her personality, character, or intellect is changed. So simply reducing her to something less because more of her skin is showing or the outline of her body is shown, so the lack of respect for her based on your values, which is what everybody is doing anyway, right? It has nothing to do with the woman dressed that way. It's about the judgment others are placing on her. And I know that people like to use that word, to demonize the word judgment. I mean, that's all we do is make judgment calls. As I said, you make judgment calls when you cross the street. We are all judged by what we do, by the standards, beliefs, and idiosyncrasies of others. The fact that the man is attracted to a woman confirms that she is not an object but a woman. She is only less in the individual psychosocial emotional sphere. So that's to that individual that she's deemed as nothing emotionally to him. I'm not going to be emotionally connected to this person. I can only thing I can do with her, like you just said, you don't want a woman that sold her body that as your wife, right? You don't, that's not the woman for you, right? So you're not going to recycle socially, emotionally connected to her. That doesn't make her nothing, but that makes her to you nothing to you, but a person that you are have a social contact to have sex with, a social relationship with, right? In U.S. cultures, women are typically sexually objectified, this article continues, because we are still slowly moving away from the idea that women who are sexually confident, enjoy sex, are bad whores and sluts. I never heard of that, but maybe that's something. And they, I was new to me. I was like, whoa. So I mean, our cultures are somewhat prudish, and we think that every part of a woman's body is sexualized, and showing it in any way is indecent. Bodies are not just for sex. A guy that takes off his shirt is no problem. He's cooling off. If a girl does it, the same thing for the same reason. She's a whore, right? So I just had a response to that. I know this is not Afghanistan. Every part of a woman's body is not considered sexy. And you can't, you can bet your paycheck that the breast, the butt, and the genital areas and areas in close proximity are to the erroneous zones, the perceived erroneous zones areas are considered sexually stimulating and private. Just how much is too much? And that depends on, like I'm saying, you have different levels of dress, right, that reveal all the body and the body parts and shapes and stuff like that, seeing through and not being able to see through. I think provocatively dressed woman is devalued by individuals who perceive their behavior or dress as devaluing. What does sexually confident have to do with how you dress? Assuming sex is something that traditionally happens outside of the public eye, I would think that the goal would be for the woman to enjoy sex. Sharing your sexuality with the public invites the public into your sexuality. That's like the girl walking down the street. Is that something the public needs to know? Is that something a woman wants the public to know? Is it a woman should expect a response to her sexual energy and exhibition? If it is, if that's what she, you know, if you want the public to know how you enjoy sex by dressing sexy, then you should expect a response by your public exhibition. You know, you should a whistle. You're going to get it. That's what you're showing. If you show a part of your body.
Well, again, going back to the promotion of through commercialism and advertising, you have people that have pretty, what is deemed pretty feet, and they will use whatever they're trying, whatever product they're selling that is related to the feet. They will have specific models who model their feet. The same way with hands. People that model rings, jewelry, or fingernail polish, they show people with so-called pretty hands. In a society that defines as it sees fit what is acceptable, what is it, what's pretty, what's ugly, you see what I'm saying? It depends on the individual. So, again, I might see a woman in spandex, and it ain't just because she has a voluptuous body, she's beautiful, she's attractive facially, and her hair is done well, doesn't mean I want to take her home and go to bed with her.
And you might want to wife her. That's what I always said that in the beginning. Some guys might want to wife her. You might not.
That's why I said when I said we're selective, because based on who the the beholder is, and what their level of understanding is in terms of a woman, then they will say certain things out of their mouth. It could come out negatively. It could be received negatively. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have ill intentions.
Right. We're running out of time. I'm going to finish up.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, bud. So I'm just wrapping it up. What'd you say?
I'm listening to you as you wrap up.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so even if females are there to have sex, it's their choice who they want to have sex with, regardless of the moral implications. Some women dress sexy to get the attention of a man or men. It really doesn't matter if a woman is dressing to get the attention of a man or not. It is natural for a man to be sexually attracted to a woman. The woman should be mindful that revealing her body stimulates sexual energy in public as much as it does behind closed doors. It appears the body of a woman commands greater sexual energy or power than the man's, at least in some cultures. And I'm going to have to wrap it up from there because we run out of time. We can continue this conversation another day. Until next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Kenneth Jones, Blog Talk Radio, our callers, and all listeners. Everybody, peace out, y'all.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, huh? General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem Sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Kingdom of War Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Marvin Tucker. What the hell is Marvin Tucker doing calling me up?
People calling me up instead of calling the show. appreciate it, man. You know, you wanna do a show yourself, just let me know. I got set it up, and you know, you could be like a guest on the show, not a caller, and a guy that's presenting something. Bam. Tommy who?
Caliente aquí.
He's looking for Cheryl Jackson's cousin. That nigga ain't, that nigga's name ain't tough.
Cheryl Jackson's cousin?
Yeah. Out there for that. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's in the pool?
Yeah, I know. He's talking, when he said Gary Green said that, boy, I said, yeah, that boy, that scab, maybe mama's cousin. I remember when Gary said that.
That's funny, because I'm dreaming about Gary Green.
Yeah?
Yep. He's walking in front of mom across the street at James Road, walking some girl. He had weight on him. Laughing and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's big. He's big now.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it that much either.
I wanted some girls to call. I might know some dudes for that.
My man said, can't find nothing.
That's that. The tight pants thing with me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole business. I got a whole business. We had it. We started making it too. I said, well, we need to get a, start creating our own fashion. That's one of my ideas, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We start going into, we don't own nothing. We can't even get into it. We can't own nothing. We were slaves. We disenfranchised. Fuck that. I'm trying to wait for somebody to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Are you gonna fight to
him? I don't know. Fight game fucked up, man. Canelo is a straight bitch. He's trying to fight the people this person. I peeped his car. He wanna fight Earl Spence because he's smaller than him. Now he really wanna fight him because just come from the accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's
got guys and calling him out to fight. For 6 years, he don't fight. So, Andre and both of the Charlo.
He's bigger than them, right? No?
He's bigger than nobody just mentioned.
They all the same way? They the same way?
He's bigger than the one. Oh, yeah, he went up one. He did go up. But he's short. I get bigger than the Big Charlo. Big Charlo, 168, that's what he's fighting at.
Okay.
No, no. 154, 160 is the Big Charlo.
160 is the Big Charlo.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fighting 168, right?
And 160.
So he's bigger than them. So he ain't got no reason not to
fight. No, beat his ass. I just gave him his ass. Andre, he don't even know what to do with Andre. Because most boxers don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, you're right. That's too much to admit, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
He's scared of Charlo to knock him out. Everybody even think about boxing around him.
He's way smaller than
him. Earl Spence 147, so is around him.
Oh, he's trying to fight.
Trying to fight Earl Spence. My boy's just been in a horrific car accident. He don't want to fight none of them strong lines. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's a bitch.
You're gonna hurt me some money, alright?
That's what it looks like.
I thought Jenkins is
apprehensive. Yeah. And that's why I don't like him. He's not one of my favorite parts. I'm down like my friend the Bob Cantor. They say like Earl Smith. That's five. Other than that,
I think if he fought him again, I think he would be.
Who's that? But just go right. Maybe. I think he's scared of boxing. Boy, it's Mayweather. He's scared of boxing. No.
Oh,
because
that
was me. Yeah. Well, Mayweather stole him. You better be scared of a motherfucker that can box, bitch. And that's what he's going to beat for him, brother. Because he's a bigger than Floyd. And Floyd has been in retirement and bad hands and all that shit. What did Floyd do?
Whip that ass. Whip that ass.
Beat him decisively. He ain't just beat him. Fucking beat his fucking ass. That's it, man. Oh, yeah. I didn't mention the part where the guy meets a girl like that and just try to not get her not to wear it. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't mention that part.